Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Amen. All right, I started last week by talking about the fact that the Word of God is a seed. Please pay very close attention. And I said the Word is a seed. I said the water is a seed. Help me with the sound, Uncle Joe. The Word is a seed. The water is a seed. I emphasize the point that you need to deliberately or intentionally plant the seed of God's Word in your heart. You need to plant the seed of God's Word in your heart. Your heart, like every other soil, please follow me closely, cannot differentiate between a good seed and a bad seed. When a seed is good, your heart will grow it. When a seed is bad, your heart will grow it. Whatever you plant into your heart is designed to grow. So if you plant the seed of fear in your heart, fear of the fact that you might not get a job after university, fear of the fact that you might not have a child after marriage, fear of the fact that you're going to die untimely, if you plant those seeds in your heart would take those seeds and grow it, and you would have the harvest in manifestation. Your heart cannot differentiate between a good seed and a bad seed. If you plant the seed of faith in your heart will grow it. If you plant the seed of blessings, of the word in your heart cannot differentiate between a good seed and a bad seed. And I don't have to be there when you are planting your seed. All I have to do is just to hang around. Whatever you planted will grow. I don't have to be there when the farmer plants his seed. All I have to do is to do what? All I have to do is just hang around. On the day of crisis, what comes out of your mouth is an evidence of the seed you have been planting. If the day you are faced with a calamity or a crisis, what comes out of your mouth is shokmono. I know that you have been planting the seeds of fear. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? So the mouth speaks out of the abundance. You see, the mouth does not speak out of the scarcity of the heart. If your mouth feeds your heart with the word of God in abundance when you don't need it, your heart will feed back your mouth with the word of God spontaneously when you need it. Do you hear what I just said? If on the day of peace, on the day of joy, you kept feeding your heart with God's word, you kept feeding your heart in the abundance of your heart will pour out a word in your mouth on the day of danger. I don't have to be there when you plant your seeds. Your life will show it. Your life will show the harvest of your seed. And what you don't want to grow, you don't water. If you don't want something to grow, you don't water it. If you don't want the seeds of lust to grow in your heart, you don't water it with more lust. Lust is a seed. Lust is the water. It takes more lust to grow in lust. It takes more lust. The way the heart is built, it will get hungrier for the things it feeds on. Are you following me this morning? So the more I feed my heart with God's word, the hungrier my heart gets for God's word. The more I feed my heart with porn, the hungrier my heart gets for porn. That's how the heart is designed. What you don't want to grow in your life, you don't water it. If you know that you are having some certain affection or some certain feelings for somebody, and you don't want that feelings to grow, you don't keep talking to the person. The more you keep talking to the person, the more your heart will continue to grow in affection for the person. Some of us are in all kinds of relationships that you know you need to block this person. Block is a spiritual weapon. Delete and block. If there are people you are falling in love with, and you know I shouldn't be falling in love with this person, because it's possible, you know, say your heart no get training. It's possible that your heart is luring towards where it shouldn't go. The way to solve it is not to continuously expose your heart to that circumstance. It's going to get stronger. You fall in love with somebody in your office. Wrong person in your office. That's dangerous. They may sack both of you. Fall in love with the wrong person in your office. The more you expose yourself to being with that person or being around that person, because it's possible. If you give attention, you give affection to someone, it's natural for love to grow. Love is a gentle flower. You don't get sense. You see, they grow anyhow. Are you following my point? If they grow, and sometimes it's after you have finished, you say, now me fall in love with this kind of thing. See, even you are shocked. Now, where was my brain? You see, your heart knows how to bypass your brain. And you suddenly find yourself, you know, longing for the affection or for the attention of someone that's wrong. The best thing to do is to cut off supply. When you cut off supply, anything you don't water will die. Anything you don't water, write it down. Anything you don't water will die. Anything you want to die, you don't have to kill it. Stop watering it. It's going to die. Wrong relationships, wrong affections, wrong attentions is going to die. The more you keep, you keep water out of it. So if you plant the seed, it will grow. The same thing with finance. If you plant seeds, it will grow. Plant seeds, God's work, it will grow. I'm going to lead you to plant a seed today. Our church, we have gotten to a point, we're starting our midweek service next month. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're starting with an intense 8 weeks of word and worship. Jay Clef is coming. Moses Akko is coming. Joseph Doris is coming. A lot of them are coming. We're going to have 8 weeks of intense word and worship. And I'm going to lead you to give towards it. When time comes, I'm going to let you know. When you plant seeds, it will grow. If you eat your seed in the morning, you will beg in the night. That's the truth. Very simple. The Bible says it gives bread to the eater. It gives seed to the sower. Because the sower knows that what I need is not bread. Out of that seed will come bread. But I wonder, anybody that is thinking only of bread, he will give you bread. Sustenance lasts only once. But God gives a seed to him who is able to sow. The word is the seed. The harvest will come when you plant in the word. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 11. Are you ready for me to do more? Yes, Hebrews 8 verse 11. Okay.
And it will never more be necessary.
11? That's it. Hebrews 8, 11?
Yes.
What class are you reading?
AMPC, sorry. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor.
Yes.
And every man his brother.
Yes.
Saying.
Yes.
Know the Lord.
Yes.
For all shall know me.
Yes.
From the least to the greatest.
Yeah. Continue. Read up to verse 13.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
I'll be merciful. The Bible says I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Yes.
And their sins and their iniquities.
And I said to you last Sunday that the Bible says their sins and their iniquities I'll do what? Remember. God says I will not remember your sins. So every time you come to God's presence, that voice that is reminding you of your sins cannot be God. If God said in his word, I will not remember their sins. God said that. So who is reminding you of your sins? Who is telling you can't pray? You cannot pray. Bring down your hand. It can't be God. I mean, if you have to tell God, God will say, what are you talking about? Father, what that thing I did, say, what did you say? I can't remember. God can supernaturally forget something. Look at Peter. Peter denied Jesus. Isn't that true? Is that a big sin? Denying Jesus? Do you know Jesus prophesied that Peter was going to deny him? Is that not true? What did Jesus say? Before the cock crows three times. You are going to, before the cock crow tonight, you are going to deny me three times. He said the word in the meeting with the disciples. What did Peter say? He said, God forbid me, I will die with you. He said, all these other ones may not follow you. He said that. He said, all these ones, we are not even sure where they came from. He said, but me, as you are looking at me like this, as I am, I will follow you unto the death. That's what some brothers are telling some sisters right now. I can die for you. I'll catch a green egg for you. I will die for you, he said. Jesus said, Peter, are you calling me a liar? I said, I'm not really saying that. What I'm saying is that I know myself. Right there in public, made Jesus like look like a liar. Like you guys didn't know what he was saying. On the day he denied Jesus. Do you know that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he never brought up that issue. He never said, because if it was me, Brother King, if it was me, if it's me, the next time I appear to all disciples, I say, okay, very good. I said, bro, Peter, please, can you come forward? I don't know how many of you were here in that crusade when I was saying that somebody would betray me. Everyone said, yes, we're here. It's very good. How many of you can remember vividly when I gave the prophetic word, the prophetic word that brought Peter here? Do you know me before? I said, no. Do you tell me anything? I said, no. Have I seen him before? I said, no. Okay, very good. How many of you know that I said yes? He said, bro, Peter, please, can you tell us exactly on Friday evening at about the time 8:07 p.m., can you please tell this wonderful congregation what you were doing? And I would have done that. But God does not make a point. He doesn't prove a point with your weakness. God is not trying to prove that he's omniscient with your sickness, with your weakness. He's not trying to prove a point that he's the Almighty God with your weakness. No. He never brought it up. He never brought it up once. Instead, he even committed the entire church into his hands. Never brought it up. Says, since I will remember. What does verse 13 say? Help me.
In that he set,
yes,
a new covenant. He hath made the first old.
He has made the first old.
Now that which decayed and waxed old.
Now the old covenant is decayed. The old covenant is gone. This is a new covenant. I'm making a new covenant with my people. A covenant of no guilt and no condemnation. No fear. No guilt. Somebody say no guilt. No guilt. No guilt. No guilt. No guilty conscience. No guilt. No condemnation. Nothing. Some Christians love it in the Old Testament. Even if we try to draw them to the new, they say, no, it must be the old. Do you know how terrible the Old Testament was? There are people who are quoting scriptures from the Old Testament. They say, a woman must not wear what pertains to a man. A man must not wear what pertains to a woman. Deuteronomy chapter 22, is that it? A woman must not wear what pertains to a man. And I say, what is what pertains to a man? Because if you explain to us, this is what pertains to a man. They say a woman should wear trousers. But the men in Scotland wear skirts. Jesus Christ was wearing gown. Our Lord Jesus was wearing gown. The Bible says when God poured anointing upon Aaron, he said he reached his skirts. Excuse me, sir, what did you say pertain to a man again? I'm confused. If you read down that chapter, he said again and again that you should not wear cotton upon linen. In that same chapter, he said you should not farm your field with one portion like this, one portion with okra, one portion. If you read through the law, you will not go near it. You must eat on living bread. You see that crack bread? That is what you will be eating. Some of you eat catfish. It's against the law. Yes, any fish that does not have scale is against the law. You eat catfish. If I begin to count the things, shrimps is against the law. Seafood okra, you are going to hell. Straight. Go and read it. That's what the law says.
those crab you are eating, they are abomination before the Lord. That's what the Lord says. Look at Deuteronomy 27. Let me show you scripture. Deuteronomy 27, 28, I beg your pardon. Okay, sorry, it's 21, 18 to 21. Help me do more. Deuteronomy 21, what does it say?
21, 18 to 21.
What verse 18 say?
18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son,
yes,
which will not obey the voice of his father,
yes,
or the voice of his mother,
yes,
and that when they have chastened him,
yes,
will not hearken unto them.
Next verse.
Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him,
yes,
and bring him out unto the elders of his city,
yes,
and unto the gate of his place.
Yes.
And they shall say unto the elders of his city,
yes,
this our son is stubborn,
yes,
and rebellious.
Yes.
He will not obey our voice.
Yes.
He is a glutton and a drunkard.
Yes.
And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones,
yes,
that he died.
Okay, wait. That's the law. Some of you will not have made it to this age. You not have grown up to this point. They would have stoned you longest time. Longest time. All of a sudden, your mother is throwing slippers at you. Your father is, they would have carried to the elders. That's the law. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 2 verse 10 that if you break one of the law, you are guilty of all. And I said that last Sunday, that there are many things I don't do as a person. I don't do it as a person. Never drank liquor, never drank alcohol, never smoked crack, never smoked cigarette, never smoked anything. I never did all those stuff. But sometimes in my life, I found that I was proud. Sometimes I was proud over what God was the one that did it. And for being proud, by this law, I was guilty of being an homosexual. Because I'd broken one of the law. Let me show you the scripture. If I broke one of the law, then I'm guilty for all. Open it. James chapter 2 verse 10. Let them see it. James chapter 2 verse 10 and Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 26. James 2 verse 10.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law,
yes,
and yet offend in one point is guilty.
So of all, if you keep the entire law and you offend in one, just one, the Bible says you are guilty of all. Deuteronomy chapter 27, 26. What does it say? Deuteronomy 27 verse 26. Give me King James.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words.
Anyone that does not follow the entire law, the Bible says, he is cursed. And the people shall say what?
Amen.
Amen. He's cursed. Small envy like this, cursed. Small aproko, cursed. Small, you watch something inside movies, cursed. As you are going, cursed. Coming in, cursed. You use bad eye, you use a bombastic cost. You are cost. That's what the law says. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, 15, verse 56, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, that the strength of sin is the law. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. The strength of sin, what gives sin power, is the law. The law came to show us how helpless we are. Nobody can fulfill the law. There's only one man who has fulfilled the law. His name is Jesus. Do you know why Jesus Christ did not come from the seed of man? Let me tell you the truth. Sin was in the seed of Adam. The Bible says that the seed of woman, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, not the seed of the man. Women are not known to have seeds, but the Bible said the seed, because he was going to send his son by the Holy Ghost that was not contaminated by the seed of Adam. Are you following my points? That was why Jesus was born of a virgin. He was the only sinless person. Only Jesus could have. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Help me do more. Romans 8 verse 1 to 3. Romans 8 verse 1 to 3. What does the Bible say?
There is therefore now no condemnation.
No condemnation, yes.
Which are in Christ Jesus.
Which are in Christ Jesus.
Who walk not after the flesh,
yes,
but after the Spirit.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Had made me free from the law of sin and death.
Had made me free from the law of sin and death. So if you look at that scripture, verse 1, people that are, you know, giving to Bible scholastic approaches will say, but Pastor, the Bible says, for those who are in Christ, who walk not after the Spirit, who after the flesh. See, that qualifier means that you are walking the Spirit. What it means that you are not trying to obtain your own righteousness by the flesh. That's what it means. Don't get too holy on that. You cannot obtain your righteousness by the flesh. What it means that you're trying to obtain your righteousness by the Spirit. The Bible says there's no condemnation for them. What does verse 3 say? Verse 3, help me.
For what the law could not do.
What the law could not do.
In that it was weak through the flesh.
The law was weak through the flesh. We made the law weak. We, human beings. We cannot follow the law. We made the law weak. The Bible says he could not do it. What happened next?
God sending his own
God
son.
God sent his own son.
In the likeness of sinful
flesh.
It
was not sinful flesh. It was in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Bible says he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. The word condemnation means to be declared unfit for use. The Bible says no condemnation. Condemned. I said this building is condemned. What it means that nobody should stay in this building could collapse. You see, that car is condemned. It's not working. It's not fit for use. The word no condemnation means that there is no time in the life of a believer that can be declared unfit for use.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All of you agree with me that God can work miracles? Yeah. Everybody agree with me? For so many people believe that God can work miracles. He's a miracle worker. Everybody's on your hands. Hey, pastor, I believe you. This is a Sunday morning, so most of you are not fanatics. If it was a Saturday night or Saturday morning, maybe I would have said fanatics are the ones that came to church today. Either you're a fanatic or somebody who's a fanatic drag you to church. But it's Sunday morning. It's bo-bo-bo, everybody. If I say, everybody lift up your hands if you think that God can raise someone from the dead. Someone says, hey, pastor, I believe God can raise somebody from the dead. And if somebody dies in this place now, God forbid, we bring him out. And some of you believe that God can raise this fellow from the dead. People say, yes, we believe. Even people can gather around to see what's going to happen. And you know when I'm going to lose all of you? When I say, okay, you there. You come raise him from the dead. What happens immediately? Your faith becomes fear. Your excitement becomes dullness. What happened immediately? Suddenly you took your eyes off Jesus. You put your eyes on yourself immediately. You will be reminded very fast that I have not prayed enough. Are you following my point? Something will tell you that you have not been studying your Bible very well. God did not change. His power did not change. But you felt condemned. Immediately, that pastor, anybody can do it. I don't think that God will be able to use me. I know that he can do it, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to use me to do it. And that is the reason why your relationship with God is not strong. Because every time a confrontation comes, you are always putting your eyes on yourself. That's the problem. I told you the story about how God told me to go pray for someone who's sick in the hospital. How many of you read that story?
Yes, sir.
And the Lord says, Philip, I said, yes, Lord. He said, today I want everybody in that hospital discharged. I said, Lord, how did he admit them? How can I be one discharged? God says, I don't want anybody going to the next year. It was the 31st of December of that year. I will never forget. I will never forget. The Lord had come to meet me that morning. And the Lord said to me, tonight by 5 p.m., we are going there together to that hospital. Immediately the Lord said that, I began to pray. I began to fast. Did the Lord tell me to pray? Did the Lord tell me to pray? What was the Lord's instruction? Go and discharge. I called my friend. Oh boy, his name is Kalu. Have you eaten? He said no. I said begin to fast. Did the Lord say I should fast? What did the Lord say I should do? You know, because self-condemnation, that's what it does. It brings the instruction within the ambits of your spiritual competence. You want to feel qualified to be able to perform what God told you to do. And no matter how much you pray, can I be humble to tell you that you can never have prayed enough to be used of the Holy Ghost? None of us is righteous. It's humility to accept that righteousness is a gift. Humility. It's serious humility to agree that this righteousness is not, you are not the one that worked for it. It was a, Bible says it's a free gift. Free gift, God gave you righteousness. Because we like to say, I know how many things I've done, I have stayed away from this, I've stayed away from that. God says, shh. All your righteousness, like what? Filthy rags. We have to accept that it's humility that Christ has given us. Bible says no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me rush. My time is gone. And so no matter how wrong or how far you've gone, if you know Jesus, you will know that he will take you, no matter how wrong you are, and bring you to himself. Let me juxtapose two scriptures for you. Help me do more. Go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read Luke chapter 5, verse 5 to 9. We're going to juxtapose the approach of Peter and the posture of Peter. Please follow me closely. The approach and the posture of Peter when he was going to be seeing Jesus for the first time in his life and when he was seeing him for the latter time of his life. All right? So Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Read very quickly.
And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing.
Yes.
Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Yes.
And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes and their nets brake.
Yes.
And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them.
Yes.
And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink.
Yes.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.
So you see what happened to Peter? When he saw that miracle, what did he do? Eh? Immediately, the goodness of God revealed his own guilt. He says, depart from me. I'm what? Eh? That's what happens. He was meeting Jesus for the first time. His life was filled with condemnation. Suddenly, he said, Kai, I'm in the presence of a holy God. I am not worthy. I am not worth it. Some of us think that it is humility to come to God and say, Father, Lord, I am nothing but a worm before you. I'm a sinner, I feel this sinner. You think it is pride? You think God is happy? Yes, my son is a worm. But that's what religion teaches you. You come into God's presence without perspective. Peter says, Lord, I'm a sinner. Depart from me. So let's juxtapose that with what happened in John chapter 21, verse 3. John 21, verse 3. Same scenario. Same. They are toiled all night in the beginning. This one too. They are toiled all night. It's only that this one happened after they had known Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus Christ had died and risen from the dead. And they did not know they had risen from the dead. But they had gone back to fishing. Going back to fishing was going back into something that Jesus Christ called them out from. Are you following my point? So in this particular scenario, they were even in sin, in quotes. They had disobeyed his instructions. And they had gone back to what he called them out from. Are you following my point? So read that passage for me. What does it say? John 21, what does it say? Yes? He said, I go fishing. Media, please. Is that mic working? Okay, continue. Just continue. We can hear you. Yes.
They went forth and entered into a ship immediately.
Yes.
And that night they caught nothing.
Yes.
But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore.
Jesus stood on the shore.
But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
Yes.
Then Jesus said unto them,
yes.
Children, have ye any meat?
So he asked them again, do you have any meat? Have you caught anything? Yes.
They answered him,
no.
No.
Yes.
And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of
cast
the ship.
The same way he said it in the beginning when they met him for the first time. Now, they had known him for 3.5 years. He had done miracles. They had seen him. He had died and they had gone back to fishing. Now he had risen from the dead and they did not know it was him that was on the shore. So he says, cast your net. What happened?
When you shall find.
Yes.
They cast therefore and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes.
Yes.
Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved.
So you see this, the Bible says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved. You will see this happening every time in the book of John. John. Self-acclaimed that it was Jesus Christ's favorite and the Holy Ghost allowed them to write it like that. So you can go now and change your name to that disciple whom Jesus loved and the Holy Ghost will impress. So Jesus Christ did not love the rest of the disciples. This disciple that Jesus Christ loved appeared only in the book of John, only in the book of John, and the Holy Ghost permitted it to be written like that. What happened next?
It is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord,
Simon Peter saw that it was Jesus,
he gave his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea.
The Bible says the moment he found out that it was Jesus, what did he do? Eh?
Why his clothes?
He could not even wait for the boats to get to the shore. He dived into the sea and swam to Jesus. Can you see the difference in the reactions? At the beginning, before he knew Jesus, he was filled with condemnation. Now that he was even in disobedience, he knew that Jesus was forgiven.
Yeah.
He knew, he had found out by experience that this Jesus would not hold anything against him. Romans chapter 6. We're going to end this sermon on Romans chapter 6. We're going to do this very fast. My time is up. I've used all the time to sing. It's okay. Special life church. Singing life church. Okay. All right.
Six verses.
Verse 1, so we're going to run this very fast. I'll just explain. So run very fast. Follow me, please. Because I'm very, very fast this portion. Okay? Let's go.
What shall we say then?
Yeah?
Shall we continue in sin?
Yes.
That grace may abound?
Yes.
God forbid.
Yes.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
How shall we that are dead? So I said the question that comes automatically when I preach the gospel. Dara, every time we preach the gospel, the question that comes immediately is that, shall we now continue to sin? That is the logical question. If anybody preaches the true gospel to you, the next thing that will come is that, are you not saying that I can continue to live my life the way I'm living it? And everybody who has that question, and this is all the questions around, they all say, once saved, forever saved. All people that are dragging those things, they want to commit sin. They want to commit sin. Are you following my point? You see, you stop looking for scriptures that indulge your flesh. Look for scripture that crucifies it. Stop looking for scripture that allows you to drink palm wine. Stop. You spend time to be looking for scripture that allows you to fornicate. You want to have two wives. You are looking for scriptures to justify it. After all. Instead of that, why not look for scripture that helps you crucify the flesh and its longings? The Bible says, God forbid, how that we that are dead. So the first reason why we cannot continue in sin because of grace is that we are dead to sin. Now the Bible says that we are dead. I mean, verse 3, what does verse 3 say?
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Many of us were baptized, he uses the past tense, were baptized, yes?
Into his death.
We're baptized into his death.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
So we
into
were
death.
Buried, he spoke about being baptized. We were baptized, we were buried with him by baptism into death. And that like as Christ, we were raised. So we were buried and we were raised. Past tense. So he continues in verse 4. Verse 4 says that so that we may live in the walk in the newness of life. This is the only portion that says, okay, you are dead to sin. You are baptized into Christ. That's past tense. You are not being baptized gradually. You are not being buried gradually. You are not being dying gradually. The Bible says that we are dead. It now says that we should walk in the newness of life. So now, because of who we are, this is what we are going to be doing. We are not who we are because of what we do. We do what we do because of who we are.
Yes, sir.
We are not doing righteous to be righteous. We do righteous because we are righteous. Are you following my point? The entire book of the book of Ephesians. Look at the book of Ephesians. Help me do more. I'm going to run this through. Ephesians is one of my favorite epistles in the scriptures. Ephesians. Ephesians has 6 chapters. The first 3 chapters tells you who you are. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, there are 6 chapters in Ephesians. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 3 chapters tells you who you are. Verse 4 says, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. So he has chosen us that we should be holy. He chose us to be holy. We are not holy. He chose us first to be holy. He didn't choose us because we are holy.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
He didn't choose us because we are holy. He chose us to be holy. So why did God choose me? I'm not the pastor of this church because I'm holy. He chose me to be holy. I am not chosen because of... Second year, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. He chose us. Verse 8 says that we have abided towards him in all wisdom. 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Destinated according to the purpose of who he worketh all things after his counsel. So we have an inheritance. Chapter 1 says that, chapter 2 describes who you are in him. Verse chapter 2 says, you are quickened. Verse 1. You are quickened who were dead in trespasses. I was dead. I have been quickened, he says. That's who I am. Go to chapter 3. It tells you who you are. That you are now fellow heirs. Verse 6. Of the same body and partakers of his promise. It tells you who you are. But chapter 4 verse 1. Help me that. Therefore, after telling you who you are in Christ, now says upon the foundation of who you are, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy. Walk worthy of who you are. Your lifestyle comes from your identity. Your lifestyle breeds, stems from who you are. What you do is a result of who you are. We are not holy. We don't fornicate. We don't do all those stuff because we are who we are. We are not who we are because we don't fornicate. We don't fornicate because we are who we are. Are you following my point?
Yes,
I don't smoke loud to be who I am. I don't smoke loud because of who I am. We don't do that in our family. We don't drink poison in our family. Are you following my point? It's a family, oh. We have family rules. We have family. In our family, we don't listen to strangers. Satan is a stranger. We don't listen. We don't talk to strangers. Daddy said I shouldn't talk to strangers. So when Satan came to meet Jesus, turned these stones to bread. There was nothing wrong with turning stones to bread. Jesus Christ turned water to wine. It's just that we don't take instructions from strangers. It's a family rule. Romans chapter 6 is back. All right? We are who we are. We do what we do because of who we are. Verse in verse 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified
with him. Our old man is what?
Crucified with him.
What did our old man do? Help me now, church. Our old man is already crucified. He's not being crucified. You know, there's something about church. We think, in every Christian, Satan is here. Angel is here. They are dragging you like this. Listen to me. Hey. That there's a part of you, old nature, is still alive. Your old nature is dragging your new nature. You are now schizophrenic. Again? Is it schizophrenic? Yeah. You're having you're having personality disorder. You are holy in the morning, you are guilty in the night. That's not the issue. The Bible says your old man is what? Is this Bible? So if the Bible says your old man is crucified, what does it say next? Help me.
Crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed.
And I said to you last Sunday that when a man dies, he leaves behind the body. Did I say that last Sunday?
Yes, sir.
So when the old man died, he left behind a body that we can see. The fact the Bible says that you are dead to sin does not mean you don't have the capacity to sin. That's what it says. It meant that the Adamic nature is crucified on the cross. Scriptures. But he has left behind a mind that he had trained to lust. A mind he had trained to gossip. An unrenewed mind. Romans 12 verse 1 says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where change needs come. The old nature is dead. The moment you give your life to Christ, the old nature, the Adamic nature, is dead. What does verse 6 say?
For he that is dead is free from sin.
He that is dead, yes.
Now if we be dead with Christ,
if we be dead with Christ,
we believe that we shall also live with him.
Verse 11, quickly.
Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead.
Consider yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Verse 12.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That you should do what?
Obey it in the lust thereof.
Sin can reign in your mortal bodies because you let it. I told you before I was addicted to porn. I watched porn severally in my life. But since the day I've been watching porn, honestly, to God who made me, and I lie not, I've never seen Satan type the website for me before. I've never seen Satan type www. I've never, since I was watching it. Who used to type it? Answer me now. I've never. If you are smoking goye, you can tell me. I don't know you. You don't know me. You have never done before. You didn't tell me, but I can tell you. You have never seen Satan light go for you before. The way Satan is going to come on the day of judgment like a gentleman. See, I was not there. The Bible says, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies that you may obey its laws thereof. Verse 13.
Neither yield your members.
Satan has never removed anybody's pants before. Never. That guy is innocent. Neither yield your members. You see, the truth is that the day we take responsibility for our actions is the day we are ready to change it.
Yes, sir.
And anything you are not responsible for, you cannot change. And if you keep pushing that, the devil keep pushing at Satan, then you are not ready to get off it. You're not ready. But it's neither yield. Who went to visit the guy? Is it devil? Devil went and opened the door. Remove your bra. No, it can't be devil. No. You did it. You yielded yourself. You yielded yourself. Scripture says, neither yield your members as instruments of what? Of unrighteousness unto sin. Your hands, your legs can become instruments of unrighteousness. And they can become instruments of what? Of righteousness. With what do you preach the gospel? With your legs. Verses, I'll be by the feet of them who bring the gospel. There is nobody here that Satan has made do anything. Nobody. That's why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, it says, and Satan was more subtle. Serpent was more subtle than any other animal. He didn't come as a strong animal. He came as a subtle animal. Satan can make nobody do anything. Nothing. He doesn't even have the power. Neither yield, he says. Verse 14, help me, what does it say?
For sin shall have not have dominion over you.
For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin has no control over you. Right where you are. Don't tell me, Pastor, I can't control it. It's a lie. Sin has no dominion over you. There is nothing you are doing wrong today that you cannot stop today. Nothing. I tell you the truth. Church, we must build strong Christians. Men and women that can confront Satan to his face. When I call you, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation in your heart. Yeah. You're the light of the world. Don't allow traces of darkness in your life. Bible says, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Help me, what I say next. Help
what
me.
Then shall we sin?
What then shall we sin?
Because we are not under the law,
again?
But under grace. Uh-huh. God forbid.
Again, it says, again, so should we now sin? Because it says, no, absolutely not. God forbid. Verse 16, where I'm going.
Know ye not?
Verse 16, yes.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself
to
servants
you
to
yield.
Obey?
You see, the word yield, follow me. The word yield means that you surrendered yourself. To whom you surrendered yourself as what?
Servants to obey.
Servants to obey. You become what?
His servants.
You become, to whom you surrender yourself, you become a servant to that thing. God has set you free, but you can willingly, intentionally, clear-headedly, clear-mindedly, you can by yourself yield yourself to the control of sin. By yourself. By yourself. He says you become servants whom you have set free. But the good thing about being a servant is that a servant does not abide in the house forever. He didn't say you have become a son of sin.
Yes, sir.
Ah, church. Church. You guys, read your Bible now. Read your Bible now. Read your Bible now. Read your Bible now. Bible says the servant does not abide in the house forever. To whom you yield yourself, you don't become the son of sin. That means you can leave anytime. Pack your bags and leave. Anytime. You can pack your bags and leave the house of sin tonight. Follow Jesus. Look at what the next verse says. Verse 17, help me.
But God be thanked.
But God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
Servants of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You have obeyed from the heart.
That from the doctrine which was delivered.
Yes,
you.
I love verse 18. Give me verse 18.
Being then made free
Being
from
then
sin.
Being then made free from sin.
Ye became the servants.
You became servants.
Of righteousness.
I was free from sin. My freedom is an invitation to another fresh servanthood. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I'm not free to live my life the way I want it. I was set free to serve.
Yes, sir.
I'm free. Free now. I have a new master. I'm not my own. God doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you alone without a yoke. He said, come to me, those who are heavy laden. He said, I'll do what? I'll give you rest. He said, learn of me. He says, take my yoke upon you. Is that what he says?
Yes,
he said, for my burden is what? And my yoke is what? So he doesn't leave you without a burden. He gives you a burden for a burden. So it takes from you the burden of powerlessness against sin and replace with the burden of restlessness for righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Burden for burden. Next verse, quickly. Let's finish this thing. Verse 19.
I speak after the manner of men.
Yes.
Because of the infirmity of your flesh.
Yes.
For as ye have yielded your
members. As you have yielded. Emma, follow me. He said, as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanliness. What is the next?
Unto iniquity, unto iniquity.
And to iniquity upon iniquity.
Even so now yield your members.
Even so now. Yes.
Yield your members.
Yield your members.
Servants to righteousness.
Servants. The same way you were yielding your members as servants to iniquity. Same intensity, same vigor, same energy that you served Satan with, now convert it and serve Jesus with it. That's what he said. The same way your feet kept rushing to evil. Rushing to evil. The same way you shift your feet like this. Rush. And when he called Peter, he said, I'll make you fishers. He said, never stop being a fisher. He said, God never changes who you are. Mm-hmm. He only changes the expression of who you are. He made you who you are. If you were dancing, this is stop dancing. Change who you are dancing to.
Yes, sir.
If you're singing, the pastor used to sing in the world. Don't stop singing. I said, no, a man can have nothing except to be given to him. Who gave you the gift of singing? So change who you're singing to. Change who you're singing to. That was the same intensity, same energy, same power, same strength. Same. Don't say same. Say it again, say same. The same. Don't change it. I was arguing with the Lord one day when he said to me, he said, son, I didn't give you any weakness. I said, Lord, I'm weak. He said, I didn't give you any weakness. He said, I made you who you are. He said, don't change who you are. Because I was a talkative. When I was young, I was talkative. I talked every day. Talking was my problem. I could talk. My friend said, I will go. My names were names of noisemakers. Every day. Whether I go to school or not, my name is the names of noisemakers. They will put it. I went to school to pick my daughter. My daughter came and met me. He said, Daddy, they wrote my name in the list of noisemakers. I said, if they didn't put your name in the list of noisemakers, I'm not the one that gave birth to you. You see that? Because I know where I gave birth to. It's in the gene. I talk. And they told me, say, if you talk too much, there's multitude of sin. Anyone that talk, keep quiet. Holy Spirit is quiet. Who told you that? And I struggled with that all my life in school. I had problems with my identity. I said, Lord, can you please make me dumb? I checked the scriptures and I found two scriptures. The hand of the Lord came upon Zacharias and he was dumb. For 6 months, I said, Lord, I have a scripture. I need one more. In the matter of two witnesses, it was established. I found the book of Isaiah. The hand of the Lord came upon Isaiah and he was dumb for a moment. I said, wow, two scriptures. And I began to pray. I was so talkative, I had to talk every time. One day I went to school, I said, I'm not going to talk today. I made up my mind, I was, I'm not going to talk today. I kept crying. By 1 p.m., I was running temperature. My friend said, you got to talk. Just talk it out, baby. Talk it out. Because I was born for this. My daddy said, you better go study law. You can talk. As I prayed, I said, Lord, please, I'm tired of talking. He said, shut up, I made you to talk. I said, well, God, this is putting me in trouble. He said, you change what you say. Change what you say. He said, when I called Peter, I said, I will make you fishers of men. I didn't change his profession, I changed his expression. Somebody else said, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. There's nothing that you have that God didn't give to you. I said, Lord, that's not true. I've read my temperament. Sanguine. Choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholy. We have weaknesses. We have strengths. God says, okay, tell me, hi, who created? The Bible says, the Lord God, in whom there's no variableness, there's no shadow. All perfect gifts come from God the Father. You think I'm going to create you, finish, and I'll begin to think, what weakness can I give this guy? Oh, I said, I gave you no weakness. There's nothing that you have that I didn't give to you. I said, Lord, let me give you a list. Number one, anger. God says, give it to me. Anger, the Bible says, anger led Moses away from the land. I said, anger. God says, anger was a strength. Anger was a strength I gave to Moses. You have to be perpetually angry against something to be delivered from it. Because some of you are still where you are. It's because you're not angry enough. When you vex with poverty, you will change. Things will change. You see, you are romancing this thing. You are romancing this. That's why it's still there. You are romancing it. That's why it's still there. When you get angry with it, you leave. God says anger is a gift. He says in the book of Ephesians 4 verse 29, be angry. And is a conjunction. It puts together two independent clauses. Be angry could have been a separate instruction on its own. Be angry. Can God be angry? The strength of Moses was that he was angry. He couldn't take rubbish from Pharaoh. I said, God, okay, you win me on that one. You win me on that one. I have another one. God said, what? I said, I cannot see anything scarce. There are some guys I cannot see anything scarce. Everything I see scarce, I must pursue it. I must pursue everything I see scarce. I said, there are people that they will tell their friends, give me 2 weeks. I'd have kissed that girl. What about that? God said, what is strength? To set a goal. To set a goal. To be able to set a goal and with zero supervision, zero external inspiration, you hit your goal within the timeline and deliver on your products. How many people can set goals and hit it? So the devil has perverted your strength. And what would have been a strong point for your life, he perverted and made you lose it for the devil. The devil did not make anything. The devil perverted everything. I said, Lord, what about me? I watch porn. I watch porn all day. I struggle with porn. My heart always longs after it. No matter how much porn I watch, I don't seem to have watched enough. I'm always longing. God says, what a gift to be desperately hungry for God. A heart that never gets filled up. And no matter how much you put into it, it keeps longing for it. The Bible says, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so my soul. So that panting of your heart was a gift that the enemy twisted and used for corruption. Anything you have, God gave to you. Gave to you. Today you can make up your mind. I'm no longer the servant of sin. I will not yield my body. I will not yield my member. Again, as instruments of unrighteousness, I am dead to sin. I overcome guilt today. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. Bow down your heads and pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. Keba. Membros kovra shede de brataya. Rela bakaskete le brada bahaya. Help me, Jade. Kebarada bashiataya. And de broso vele kebrata sheke de baha. Hele broko vilili bata la brande kosiata. Whatever you don't find in me. You know the song, Timmy? Sing it. Take it away. Not God
that is still reflecting in me.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray.
Like you.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep ratesh karada bahaya. Every unforgiveness, every unforgiveness. Some of you have to forgive. Jeka mambo skopra telebrataya. Take it away. Whatever is in me, every expression, today I declare, I'm not a son of sin. I'm not a servant of sin. I'm not a servant of sin. Kepa, mambo, ke, bras, kete, andros, kivarada, bakashaya. Every struggle in my heart, struggle in my life, today I declare the light of God shines in my heart. Emba, mambo, mambo, shkabra, baka, bras.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church. You can't